Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio today by Craig Burley. A little later on, Pablo Zabaleta will be here, as will Frank LaBeouf. Plus, Alexis Nunes gives all the latest from Madrid regarding the possibility of Kylian Mbappe joining Real Madrid. Speaking of Mbappe, we start with PSG's 2-0 victory over Rennes, where Mbappe got a brace, great header for the first goal. But really, it was all about Lionel Messi making his debut, coming off the bench. The first time, of course, we've seen him in any domestic shirt that wasn't Barcelona. It was a bit weird. Frank, what did you make of it all?
Well, it was a nice warm-up for Lionel Messi. I think it was very... very wise. He tried the first five touches that he had was a one-touch pass. You know, he played very simple, tried to find his marks and tried to help even defensively. I think he ran like he never ran, I think, for Barcelona before, though that was encouraging. But he didn't try to make something spectacular. He just tried to set up and to do the job. And I'm pleased for Mbappe because everybody can say everything or anything. I don't know what's going to happen, but the guy is very professional. He scored goals and goals. And again, today, two goals and does the job. And as you said, he smiles, never complained about anything. So I don't know if he's going to stay, but it's nice to see him doing what he did. And just for the story, some people on some social networks are complaining that Pochettino made a substitution with Neymar for Messi because they wanted to see the three guys at front for maybe only once because we don't know what's going to happen for Mbappe.
People never happy.
From the king of sunshine next to me. Pablo, it's weird, isn't it? It's going to take some getting used to seeing him in a PSG shirt.
Yes, I mean, Messi's debut probably today was not about his performance, you know, it was about him representing a different club. So obviously it's been, maybe nearly 2 months since the last game in Copa America. Obviously he needs to get his fitness back and he build up his physical conditions again and surely he will get, you know, better and better. So... Champions League is coming soon, so we're going to see. Hopefully, we can enjoy, a great performance of Messi playing for PSG.
And what was interesting, after the game, we saw some of the Rennes players lining up to take selfies with Lionel Messi, including the Rennes goalkeeper who had his young child with him to have a picture with Messi. And this is something that you text us, Frank, very angry about. Why?
Well, I'm a friend of Rennes' chairman. I'm going to text him tomorrow. And he said, I don't understand your players. They're professional players. They're not amateur players. It's not a cup game. They should be unhappy to lose, even if you play against Paris Saint-Germain and Messi. I mean, it's not a cup game. It's not a lower division playing against a top team just for fun. And you go back to work on Monday morning, I don't know, as a postman. I don't know who could be anything. But you're a professional player. You should be unhappy. You should be fuming about the performance that you had, that you lost at home, even if it's against Messi. And you shouldn't take your son and smile to take a picture with Messi. I don't know. It's maybe a conflict of generations, but I didn't see it, and I don't know if Craig and Pablo can be okay with me. No, it's something we never saw.
This isn't
during our time.
This is embarrassing beyond belief. Here we have a professional league that is supposed to be, you know, 100% committed. And here we have, what is it, an all-star game? Do you know what I mean? What is it, a pre-season friendly? We know he's a big player. We know he's... But what? I remember this, and it goes back to the World Cup in France in 98, right, when Scotland played Brazil in the opening game. And after the game, I'm not going to mention players, right? But after the game, some of the players, and we just lost 2-1, and some of the players were off and couldn't wait to be off, knocking on the Brazil door to ask for Roberto Carlos and Ronaldo and Dunga and Rivaldo's shirt. And I thought, holy smoke, we've just played in the opening game of the World Cup and we've lost 2-1.
Right.
It's not, okay, I mean, there's a bit, sometimes there's shirt swapping at the end of the game on the pitch. But to go be knocking on the door, begging... And they couldn't give us stuff, begging for a talk, was quite frankly embarrassing. And I see this picture and I think, my God, I mean, I get it. Signing a player of Messi's ilk is wonderful. But spare me the, at least publicly.
Yeah, but the problem is, I suppose, because of COVID regulations and things, well, maybe these things would have happened in the past in dressing rooms or behind closed doors. It's just the only option.
I don't buy it even behind closed doors. No. It's not very professional. It's saying to me, we're just happy that you're here. We know you're great, and right. we're fawning over you. Okay. It's not the done thing.
Pablo, what are you smiling about?
No, I'm agree with you guys. I think coming from a professional player, that's not good. Especially, probably it's a bit of a lack of respect to the fans. And you cannot do this on the pitch. Just go in, go to the dressing room. Then if you want to bring down your family and then you want a picture, with Messi or something, you should try, inside. But on the field, I mean, you have to be upset. I know they lost to PSG, one of the greatest teams. But as a professional, when you lose a game, you just want to go into the dressing room and then get a shower and then go home. I think I absolutely agree with you guys.
Can I just go back to the game a little bit? In some sense, there was a... Because we've talked a lot about Mbappe, like a lot of networks will have over the last 4 weeks or more. I don't think he'll move because I think PSG will put the block on it for now. They're not... They want to see this trio.
Yeah.
And what that may bring for one season. Right, that pot of gold in the European Champions League. So I think personally he'll stay. Now the question is then, and Frank's already touched on it, he's very professional. That's great to hear. But I think what we maybe saw today was a Kylian Mbappe with an extra little bit of spark.
Sure.
Messi's on the bench. It's all about him today. I'm just going to put another reminder that I'm still the guy at this moment in time because the way he attacked that cross for his first goal was really, really good. I mean,
right.
It was a really determined way he attacked it. Great header. Then he got his other goal. And it was just, I think, from his perspective, subconsciously, knowing that today's game was all about Messi's first potential start for PSG. And here we have Kylian Mbappe, who's been the talk of the town recently, stepping up to say, hello, I'm still here.
Alexis, you've been in Madrid since Thursday. How much talk has there been about Kylian Mbappe? What's the buzz like there?
Honestly, Dad, I don't think there's been much talk about anything else. I kept saying, of course, I'm here for this match, Atletico Madrid-Villarreal, but it really feels like I was actually here for Kylian Mbappe watch because that's all any and everyone has been talking about since I touched down. 95% of the shows, I would say, on local television have been talking about Mbappe ever since those links started to get stronger and stronger. I mean, I remember even watching one of the shows and they were already pretty much planning when they think would be a good day to reveal or unveil Mbappe as a Real Madrid player, whether it should be Thursday before the international break or whether they should wait after the international break. And I was like, hang on, he's not even sniffed a Real Madrid shirt too. And one of the other things as well, they've been doing checklists of why he's not just a great player for Real Madrid, but a perfect player for Real Madrid. They're already calling him the Galactico that Real Madrid really needs. I mean, they're comparing him to the likes of David Beckham, Figo, Raul, O Fenomeno, Brazilian Ronaldo, and of course, Cristiano Ronaldo, and the impact that all those players had at Real Madrid in the past. The fact that they were just absolutely amazing on the pitch, but equally amazing off the pitch, in terms of the value that they gave the club and the shirts that they would sell. And they say that Kylian Mbappe is probably the only one left in the world right now that could have that impact straight away. And I mean, one thing as well is the fact that he's got age on his side. He's still so young, can give them pretty much about a decade. And I don't really like to use the word desperate, but that's exactly what it feels like Real Madrid are, desperate. And you're thinking of one of the biggest clubs in the world and one of the biggest clubs here in Spain, and they're absolutely desperate for this player. Just speaking to some people here in Madrid, I know it just hurts them, the fact that a player like Lionel Messi, whether they're rivals or fans of Barcelona, that they don't have that star power here. Cristiano Ronaldo being linked and going back to Manchester United, the fact that, his heartstrings didn't tug as strong for Real Madrid, I think hurt them as well. And now I think people here in the country and fans of La Liga are just kind of looking around and going, huh, well, if France has Messi and the Premier League now has Ronaldo back, like, who have we got, you know? And there still are big players, but a name like Kylian Mbappe and the kind of confidence and that aura and that swagger that he does exude really does make him a Galactico. And I think that this city will be absolutely heartbroken if he does not put pen to paper and doesn't come on a fancy jet over here to Madrid when the transfer window shuts.
Thank you very much, Alexis, to keep up to date with all the latest transfer news before the window closes on Tuesday. Be sure to check out Transfer Talk over on the website.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Meanwhile, in the Premier League today, Wolves taking on at Manchester United. The hosts pretty much dominated this game, but in the end, it was United who took a 1-0 victory. Back up north, Mason Greenwood scoring with 10 minutes remaining. Controversial goal because the Wolves players, fans, thought there was a foul in the build-up. Pogba on Ruben Neves. This is what Neves had to say after the game. Everyone saw it. Everyone saw my leg. We always do meetings and everything with referees about VAR. I don't know why. They said before the season started they will look for contact. If the contact is strong enough, they will give the foul, and I showed them my leg. Paul Pogba responding by saying, I didn't touch him. This is the Premier League. It was a 50-50. Every weekend that is happening, we win the ball and we score. Well, here it is. Craig, is it a foul?
Do you know, I actually don't think this is a foul. Ruben Neves says there's a lot of contact. There is contact, but there's barely any. Now, he's going to go and run on then, looks at the ref, and then he decides to go down. Now, minimal contact on his shin pad. You can just see his shin pad moving. The bigger problem is here is the goalkeeper, Jose Sa, allowing Mason Greenwood to score from that angle. He should never have got the goal. So I am actually on the side of Pogba and United here, because the way the games have been refereed now, the contact has to be decisive and has to have an impact. And that really, in my opinion, didn't have an impact. Ruben Neves didn't even go to the ground until he decided to look to the refereeing and go for the crocodile tears. That's not the way the game's been refereed now, and I personally don't think there was enough in that for a free kick.
Pablo, is it a free kick?
No chance. I agree with Gray. That was it was a minimum contact, but not enough for the foul, I think. Referee made the right decision. Listen, in football, there's contact every single time. If they were going to look to VAR every time, there is a challenge like that. You know, it's not football anymore. So, in the Premier League, it's a bit like that. So, for me, it wasn't enough, contact for a foul.
Do you know the only thing that, before I go to Frank, the only thing that happened, and look, he may have a little scratch
right
on his leg.
Yep.
May. He used to come off the field with scratches all over. That sure might be. The only thing that happened was Pogba's stud swiveled his shin pad a little bit.
Okay.
Right? Are we saying every time that happens, that's a free kick? I'm sorry, but no, not at all.
Frank?
Well, I would like to disagree with my friends, with my colleagues, because, you know, in Pogba answer and also on Pablo's answer, when I hear this is a Premier League, they underline the fact that the Premier League is a different kind of referring comparing to the rest of the world. So meaning that in the rest of the world, that would be a free kick, because his leg is not on the floor, is in the air, which is kind of a dangerous situation, and you can't whistle because you can consider that's over where what he should do, and decide that it could be a dangerous tackle even if you don't touch him. Now, having said that, I agree with the guy. In the Premier League, you normally don't whistle it. And especially when you see a guy falling down like a second after he's been touched, which is completely ridiculous. So I don't know where to stand in that matter. I think there was a free kick. And I think it's a non-goal on top of it, because I think the goal put the ball in the net.
Frank, you'd make a terrible lawyer, I have to say.
Let's look.
Let's look at it from a VAR point of view, right? Because
they're not overturning it.
Because Mike Dean, the match official, deemed it to be not a free kick live, right? So, the goal scored, it goes to VAR. VAR goes into Mike Dean's ear and says, well, what I'm seeing is minimal contact and the shin pad being moved a few inches around the leg without any real damage, and the player went down, delayed. You know, let's just carry on. And it was interesting, Solskjaer after the game, he thought it was fine, because last week him and Klopp were moaning about every challenge going, so it was interesting. But listen, trust me here, Man United have won a watch with 3 points. Yeah. They did not play well. Didn't play well against Southampton last week. They didn't play well today. They've got their goalkeeper De Gea to thank, for sure. They've got a little bit of bad finishing to thank, for sure. And a bit of bad goalkeeping from Wolves. But sometimes in a 38-game season, you need results when you haven't played well, and there's no doubt. And even, I think I heard De Gea in his interview say after the game, it's his words, not mine, we got lucky today.
Yeah.
And I think he's doing himself a disservice, because he made at least a couple of great saves.
Yeah, a double save was fantastic. Yeah. Frank, I know you wanted us to highlight a penalty shout that Wolves had early on in this game.
Yes, because in fact, nobody considered, and except the former Liverpool player was working in France for French television, said after we see, I think it's James, Daniel James, you know, going towards the Ramirez, I think it was, and it's a clear tackle. I mean, it's a foul. He doesn't touch the ball, and he pushed and he tackled the player. It's a penalty. Even if the guy doesn't have the ball, even if it's after whatever it is, but look at it, because we don't have that situation. We see James going to and really tackle him. That's crazy. And how it's possible that the VAR doesn't look at it?
Craig?
It's a penalty.
I mean, when I first saw this, I was like, oh, nah. And then the more I looked through it, I was like, holy smokes, he completely cleans him out. So, yeah, I would like to hear the reasoning from the PGMOL.
I was wondering if you were going to go for it. You did.
Still wrong. I would like to hear the reasoning for a challenge like that. And I think most supporters would like to hear the reasonings for some really big incidents from all the games in the Premier League at the weekend, if that's the league we're talking about why they were not given.
Yeah.
And then maybe we could understand these scenarios a little better.
That's not a foul in Argentina, is it, Pablo?
No, I thought that's a penalty everywhere in the world. I think now you can see, that slight tackle on Trincao. I think that I have to say that for me, that was a penalty 100%, but listen, that's, sometimes I've been in the Premier League so many years, and you got referee meeting every single season, before the start of the season, and they talk about many situations inside the box, outside the box, penalty handballs, inside the box. But to be honest, then it's so confusing in the season, not consistency, from referees sometimes.
Pablo, last time you were on, Manchester City were just about to get Cristiano Ronaldo. Oh, in the end, of course, he goes to the red side of the City. What did you make of it all?
Well, listen, that would have been a bit weird to see Cristiano Ronaldo playing for Manchester City. Come on, he went to Man United when he was really young. He was only 18. He's been really successful with Man United. Even he spoke about really well. About Ferguson, like he was his father. Probably, it wouldn't be so nice to go to Manchester City, probably, and, lack of respect to Manchester United. I don't know. obviously, for a Man City, they lost Sergio Aguero. They only have a Gabriel Jesus as a number nine. They're probably looking for someone to bring in, you know, to play in that position. They went for Harry Kane. Finally, he decided to stay at Spurs. We'll see in the next few days if they can bring somebody in. You know, when you look at the transfer fees, they stay absolutely ridiculous. So, you know, every single number nine world-class player costs so much money. Mm. But happy to see Cristiano Ronaldo going back to the Premier League. You know, he always been a special player. And I think, you know, it is fair for Man United fan to see Cristiano playing again for them, you know.
Just one thing on City, Pablo. Obviously, I mentioned the deadline is Tuesday. If they don't bring in a striker, can they still go on and win the league? Can they still go on and win the Champions League?
Well, Ferran Torres has been playing as a number nine the other day. Gabriel Jesus more on the right-hand side, and they have been good against Arsenal. They can play Kevin De Bruyne also as a striker. Obviously, they have plenty of options in the wide areas with Mahrez, Grealish, Sterling. Then, you know, a lot of attacking midfielders, likes of Gundogan, Rodri, even Kevin De Bruyne can play behind the striker. They got so much options up front, but I think for a club like Manchester City, they want to win every single trophy. You know, you always expect to have a proper number nine inside the box, you know, and you see Chelsea, they brought Lukaku in. Somebody who can guarantee you goals, 25, 30 goals in one season, like when Aguero was there years ago. But listen, that's not going to be easy. And I think even if they don't bring anybody in, Pep Guardiola has so much trust on his players. So we'll see how it goes this season.
I think everyone predicted at this stage Tottenham would be perfect. Three wins out of three to start the season. They, of course, managed that feat today. Goalkeeper should have done better here. Son getting the only goal of the game against Watford.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think
1-0, 1-0, 1-0.
Yeah, and look, Nuno Espirito Santo is, I think, a pretty good manager. It was tough for him at the latter stages at Wolves when they lost some players and then they had the injury to Jimenez, and they tried to change the shape of the team a little bit, particularly at the back. But I think, you know, a change is as good as a rest, and that's what he's got. Now, the talk about Kane and others has not been helpful for him. That looks like it's going to go away, although we're not quite there yet. You mentioned Tuesday. But yeah, they've got the makings of a solid side, but I don't expect to see this continue over the course of the season. It is what it is, and that is a good start, but nothing more.
But still, it does give you a little bit of momentum to pick up on, isn't it? Considering the other way it could have
gone. Well, I'd rather be in his shoes than Mikel Arteta's shoes, where they're getting spanked every week at the moment, and now they've got a couple of games against teams that they should beat, and they could be in trouble. But the Harry Kane situation is interesting for me. The transfer window's not finished yet, not closed, clearly. They've got a couple of days to go. But he's already been out and you know, said how so much he loves it.
He said he's staying, didn't he?
And he's staying. Things can still change at this late stage. I mean, I know it's unlikely, but I don't know why he just didn't keep his trap shut till the whole thing was done and dusted one way or the other. And then he could have said whatever he wanted to say. But yeah, it does look like he's going to be staying, and you know, that's going to be, obviously, you talked to Pablo about it, but that's a huge disappointment for Man City.
Yeah.
But bonus for Tottenham.
Thanks, Craig. We'll say goodbye to Pablo and Frank. Frank, though, back for extra time, which you can always check out over on our YouTube channel.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Barcelona beat Getafe by 2-1. Memphis Depay getting that key winner in the first half. For more analysis about what happened at the Camp Nou, let's join Kay Murray, Casey Keller and Ali Moreno.
Memphis Depay yet again. It seems to be a perfect match for him at Barcelona so far, Ali.
Yes, it is. And the same level of confidence and arrogance that we think make Memphis Depay a good player sometimes can also frustrate you. Because in the missed opportunity we just saw, what he's trying to do is score one of those goals that people are going to remember. He's like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do a flying back heel, and I'm going to put that in the back of the net, and people are going to talk about me. Well, we're going to talk about him regardless, because he is really the one option in the attack that you can rely upon if you're Barcelona. Everybody else, not so much. Very unsure about what the role of Antoine Griezmann is within this team at this point. But you just see Memphis Depay having the freedom to move wherever he wants in the attack. And when you have the penetrating pass, the vertical pass of Clément Lenglet, and nobody goes with Memphis Depay, now he turns and, you know what, I can find this option. But the recognition of Sergio Roberto as Memphis Depay has taken himself out of an attacking position inside the 18-yard box, somebody's got to fill that space, and Sergio Roberto does that perfectly. 1-0 Barcelona. The reference point in the attack for Barcelona will continue to be Memphis Depay, because really, he is the one guy that you say he can do something special. He's the one that can really do something for us that will make a difference and will impact the game, will change the game for us. The rest of that crew, I'm not so sure.
Yeah, he can do something special. He did something special once again in this game, scoring the second goal for Barcelona. And you talk about his confidence, Casey. You wonder if that's just what Barcelona need right now.
Well, they definitely need some confidence up front. Look, Braithwaite's done a great job, and he's going to work hard for what he is. The question mark then is what happens with Antoine Griezmann. But as long as Depay is able to continue the season the way he started, then they'll have a void, not completely filling that void left behind from Lionel Messi, because there's no chance that Depay is going to score 50 goals this year. But still, it gives the Barcelona faithful some hope. Some hope that there's somebody that's going to give the fans the confidence that they can see a game out like this. And it showed today, prime example. They get the early goal, they then fall asleep, and allow Getafe a lifeline back into the match. But then Depay has the moment of magic, which gives them the lead. And then they were able to hold on. And we can say, that the second half was difficult. They didn't play well. Getafe had the better chances to find the equalizer. But at least they look back on this result and say, Memphis Depay showed up again and got a goal that made the difference.
The key name is the other player that you just mentioned there, Antoine Griezmann.
Didn't see much of him.
Nope, we did not. And why is he so important? As Casey just alluded to it, Memphis Depay, as good as he has been, he's not going to be Lionel Messi. So he's going to score a few goals. He's going to assist on a few goals. He's going to change the game in the final third. But there's going to be a gap in productivity that somebody's going to have to be able to come up with those goals and those assists. And who would you think of these players that are available to Barcelona would be the name that it would be most likely, at the very least, to fill in that gap? Who's going to score those goals? Well, it would be Antoine Griezmann, you would hope, if you're a Barcelona fan. But not based on the performances that we have seen so far this year, where there's a lot of running, there's a lot of work off the ball, but every time he touches the ball, he seems very content in just playing the ball sideways and back and not really threatening in the attacking half. He gets his ball, he makes what I would suggest is a correct soccer decision. He's like, yeah, I'm gonna keep it here and I'm gonna keep it there. But never do you see him, you know what, I'm going to face you up. I'm going to square you up. I'm going to do something that is going to change this game. Game-changing plays. He's not losing the ball. He's not awful on the field, but he's not great. And when you need players to be able to come up with something that is Messi-like, and if it's going to be Depay and Griezmann trying to do this, you're going to have to be great. And there's not enough great moments from Antoine Griezmann.
And you think, why is that? And I think Stewart alluded to it in the broadcast, is because enabled to do something special like that, to square somebody up, to try to take somebody on, it's not going to come off every time. So when you beat that guy or you don't beat that guy, all of a sudden, here's the whistles in the back of your head from the fans. So what am I going to do? I'm going to take the easy route. I'm going to find and I'm going to complete a pass, because if I complete that pass, the whistles don't come. But the problem is then you're not showing what this team needs from you, and that's to be that offensive threat, to take the pressure off of Depay, because he's going to go two or three matches without scoring, and who's going to pick up that void? Sergio Roberto coming from midfield? They say he scores one goal a season. I mean, he got his one goal a season.
That's it?
I mean, you're not going to, you know, Frankie de Jong had two or three opportunities. You were yelling off camera, shoot, from the top. No, Frankie de Jong looking to make that other pass. So it's going to be interesting to see if Griezmann can put the whistles aside and say, you know what? I'm going to try to make something happen, because if I do make it happen, maybe the confidence will come and the fans will get back behind me.
Well, we do have Gab Marcotti with us. One player I'd like to mention, Gab, is Philippe Coutinho. Do you think he might be able to find his way back into this Barca side and make a difference?
Well, look, at the start of the summer, it was pretty obvious that the message from Barcelona to the player, which was, you're not in our plans, so it would be great if we could get an offer for you, even on loan, get your wages off the wage bill. You know, if there's somewhere, feel free to take it and consider it. The problem from Coutinho's perspective is, of course, he's had so many niggly injuries. He hasn't played much at all for Barcelona, and when he has played, he hasn't played well. And so a lot of clubs were put off by the fitness issues. A lot of clubs have been put off by his big wages. I wouldn't exclude the possibility, because there are people who are interested, but they're only interested on certain terms, because he is on enormous wages, something close to 20 million a year. So the problem is, it's working out a deal. How much of those wages do Barcelona cover? What Barcelona want to avoid, and this has come up, is to do what they did with Luis Suarez. In other words, take a financial hit where you essentially, you give him some money to cancel his contract and to go away. Because obviously Suarez came back to bite them, and they believe that, you know, Coutinho, if he finds fitness, if he finds rhythm, he can still be a tremendous footballer like he was before, though maybe not necessarily at Barcelona. If he does stick around, though, I think you will, and he's fit, I think you will see him, because it's a long season. And I think options in that position, if they can move out the players that they want to move out, I know you're going to ask about Elias Moriba, one of them in midfield, or even in that front three starting wide until Dembele and Fati come back, I think we, you know, there will be room for him to show what he can do.
An incredible game in the Spanish capital on Sunday. Atletico Madrid taking on Villarreal. Atleti dominating the first half. Villarreal, though, would take the lead. Atleti then get the equaliser as the visitors completely messed up a throw-in. Villarreal, though, would make it 2-1 as a mix-up at the back saw them take the lead. But then, late on, the ultimate mix-up of the bat. Villarreal defender goes ahead it. The goalkeeper's out of position, and somehow it trickles across the line. It finishes 2-2. Craig, let's talk about that dramatic ending. That goal, for you, who's at fault?
Yeah, see, the more I think of this, and I know just before we came on air, we were having a little debate, whose fault was it? And you...
Yeah, defender or goalkeeper?
Frank LaBeouf was asked, and I was asked, somebody, and it was like, and I thought it was the defender, but actually, the goalkeeper's coming into a position where it's not really coming to him. And so I think it's the goalie at fault, although Unai Emery will probably see it as both of them, just like the two guys that he took off for giving the throw-in away in the corner, which handed Luis Suarez the equaliser. Villarreal, after all that hard work and pressure sometimes that they had to withstand, and some of their good play, to go away from home and look like going to beat the champions from last year and possibly the champions from this year, because although the bookies see it differently, many see Atletico Madrid as the favourites. And then throw it all away like that. Yeah. He's going to be... Yeah. I mean, you mentioned that, I was listening to the boys, you were talking about Unai Emery at half-time. He's a jack-in-the-box anyway. So I'd love to see... Get a camera. Get a camera in that dressing room now, because he's going to be going bananas.
What a name. Geronimo is the name of the goalkeeper.
Hey.
Frank, is it the goalkeeper or the defender?
Well, you know, after seeing twice, you know, I would say that he's really boss of them, because the first rule for a defender when you give a goal back is normally you try to put the ball outside of the net, to make sure that in case it happens, the ball doesn't go in. But it's true that, as Craig mentioned, the goalkeeper is going nowhere near it. I mean, I don't know why he goes so much on the left, because he should see that the defender is going to head the ball, so he shouldn't go that left. So I would say both, but I would say that most, for me, the most guilty for that is a goalkeeper.
Alexis Nunes, pitch side, still for us in Madrid. We just saw that stadium completely erupt.
Oh my goodness, Dad. I was thinking that I had jinxed everything, just assuming that finally the action would come in this side after what we saw in the first half with Atleti pressing. They finally got their goal, but I said, oh no, Villarreal have got this and it's going to be a sad, sad night in Madrid. But unbelievable scenes. I mean, it's almost as if the ball was just trickling in slow motion and people just flew out of their seats before it even hit the back of the net. And I mean, they're still celebrating here. Foyth is just doing a flash interview right beside me and he's just getting a barrage of abuse. And I mean, Villarreal heartbroken, absolutely heartbroken. Diego Simeone was about as animated as ever. He picked up a yellow card. So it was absolute scenes here, man.
Well, four very much the magic number in Serie A today. Milan with a 4-1 victory over Cagliari. Meanwhile, Roma with a 4-0 victory as well away from home. I can't make any full link for a 0-0 draw between Sassuolo and Sampdoria. Napoli, meanwhile, with a 2-1 victory over Genoa. Gab Marcotti is with us. Gab, if you missed the first half of the Milan game, you'd be somewhat kicking yourself.
Yeah, that's kind of when all the action happened. Milan in the second half, and this is something that we appreciate in Italy, perhaps more than elsewhere, saying, okay, we won this game, let's just slow it up, let's pick our spots. They did create a couple chances, but they were really impressive before the break, Dan. Olivier Giroud, I don't want to say a star is born, but he's fitting in very, very nicely in Milan. He got his goals, he dished out assists, he mixed it up. Watching from the sidelines with Zlatan Ibrahimovic, and you just wonder, I'm sure Zlatan reckons he's going to go straight back in as soon as he's fit, but you wonder if maybe in certain situations we might see the two of them together, because if Giroud keeps playing like this, it's going to be hard to get him out of the side.
Yeah, indeed. Meanwhile, a nice win for Jose Mourinho's Roma, Cap.
A very nice win, although I need to mention this because I didn't mention it before. Sandro Tonali, the guy who supposedly was the next Pirlo, he scored a Pirlo-esque free kick with a bit of help from the goalkeeper, but still, nice to see him do well. But on to Roma. So they were playing Salernitana, newly promoted. Salernitana's manager is a guy named Castori, who's kind of the tough guy of Italian football. Once got a year-long ban for, basically getting into a fist fight with opposing players. This was years ago when he was at Cesena. So basically, it's almost like playing sort of some kind of Burnley on steroids. and Roma didn't look like a Mourinho team, or they looked like the very earliest Mourinho teams, the ones that would go and they would attack and they would rip you apart with their movement. They looked really, really good, Dan. Tammy Abraham, again, putting on a fine performance, getting his first Serie A goals. Mkhitaryan as well. Pellegrini bagging two. He thinks he's going to be really important for them this year. And they did it without my boy Zaniolo. Four wins out of four for Jose Mourinho. And I think he was entitled to gloat a little bit after the game.
Yes, indeed. A lot more from Gab on the latest edition of the Gab and Jules podcast. Be sure to check that out. A new episode will drop on Monday. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match. With Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
That's it then. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much to everyone who has been on. Be sure to stay tuned. Frank LaBeouf back with us. Craig, of course, as well, to answer your tweets on Extra Time. Welcome in then to the latest edition of Extra Time. How are you doing? What are you watching on there?
It's stats.
It's not stats, it's the golf, is it?
It's not the golf.
What is it? That's the only sport that's going on. It is the golf. I thought it was. Ah, dear. Do you have an opinion on Deschamps? People seem to have an opinion on him.
Oh, really? No.
No? You like him? Don't mind him?
I don't mind him, actually.
No? Who's the one he's fighting with? That's quite funny.
Koepka.
Yes, yeah. That's good.
I think there is a 50-50 split in who is...
Which side?
The bigger pain.
Right. Okay.
I actually don't mind.
Which is interesting because in this show, you're pretty much the majority. It's definitely not 50-50.
I have an opinion.
Oh, go on, Frank.
I have an opinion on Deschamps.
Okay.
I have an opinion on Deschamps. He has a French name. It's a very good start.
Thought on Liverpool's performance from the first... There's more.
Yeah, now just one thing. Have you mentioned that on the Eredivisie Championship?
Yes.
That Ajax Amsterdam, they didn't have their names at the back of their shirts.
Right.
Have you seen that?
No.
So maybe they go back to our old days where we didn't have our names. I don't know.
Why would you do that? Why would you complicate things like that?
I don't know. As the Dutch.
Keep talking, Frank.
It's late in France.
Keep talking, because Deschamps is just taking a pot here.
Thoughts on Liverpool's performance from the first three games of the season, seeing that Big Virge is back, Frank?
Well, of course, it makes a big difference. You know, that guy stabilised the defence, changed the defence like just did last season for Manchester City. One big guy, you know, a leader, makes your team different. You play higher, you play with more confidence. Alongside you, everybody's better. So it's why he's different. And I'm sure Liverpool is much better with Van Dijk, for sure.
Craig, Manchester United midfield bad the last two games. Could Donny van de Beek do any worse? I'm Ole in, but this is ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, Fred... One wasn't good. Deschamps just missed his pot. It's going to go to an extra hole again. He's playing Cantley in the playoff.
Turn it off now.
No, just turn it to the side. The midfield is a concern. At Southampton, he played Matic and Fred, left McTominay in the bench, and that just slowed it down. I just feel they need, because obviously in terms of creative players and pace, they've got that in abundance now. Well, with Pogba and Fernandes and Martial, Rashford and young Greenwood, who's excellent. And of course, the goals of Ronaldo, as they'd hope. But I still feel they're short of a real dynamic midfielder. I really do. But obviously, Donny van de Beek is well down the pecking order, because Solskjaer just does not seem to fancy him at all.
How do you cope like that as a player, as a professional, just completely being rejected since you've arrived?
Well, all you can do is go out and train and make sure your attitude is spot on, and try and, if that doesn't work, by January time, you've got to try and look for a loan spell,
right,
if not a move. So it's quite simple.
Will Ole cope, Craig, with potential ego clashes of his players with big ones such as Pogba, Ronaldo, Mata, and the most arrogant of them all, Mike Dean?
Suggesting that Mike Dean was batting for Man United.
Yes.
I think we touched on this at the end of the week. I know there's a tongue-in-cheek part to that tweet, if not all of it. I think the dynamic between the players will be interesting, but I think the one thing Solskjaer has done well and can do well, he seems a likeable guy who's not going to rub people up the wrong way. I think he will if he has to. I don't think he's frightened to do that, but I think the players like him as a person, and I think that helps.
Yeah.
Whether the players start a little bit of niggle between themselves, that's a different matter. I don't foresee an issue between this United squad in terms of egos. I don't think that's going to be a problem.
Frank, what is the main thing Kai Havertz needs to work on in order to take the next step?
That's a very good question. I think I don't think that in the dressing room he must be a leader. It doesn't seem to be also a leader talking, you know, taking the leadership when he's on the field. But technically, like a Zidane. Zidane never talked on the field, never talked in the dressing room. But when you were playing, you knew that you had to give him the ball. That's the feeling that you have, because you know that if one person won't lose the ball, that would be Zidane. The Chelsea players must have that feeling that when they give the ball to Havertz, they must feel that he won't lose the ball. That's his duty. That's how he has to improve, showing himself a little bit more when a teammate is looking for another teammate to make sure that he's going to choose him.
Right.
And be, well, that important, in fact.
I think protect the ball a bit better, but I think also be more decisive with your final pass.
Yeah.
I think at times he gets in good positions and he turns defenders, and then he sort of just throws an outside of the boot pass to somebody, and it's maybe just a little bit behind them and it's not in front of them or the right pace. And I don't know what Frank thinks or remembers from yesterday's game, but I actually felt in that first half, if Chelsea had played a better pass, not just Havertz, but if Chelsea had played a better pass, a simpler pass, they could have been a couple of goals to the good.
Yeah.
And I don't mean difficult. I mean a straight ball for Lukaku.
Lukaku was through for Havertz.
A straight ball for Lukaku.
Yeah.
Or another one that should have went, I can't remember what side. And I think, not all Havertz, but I think that is part of his game, that a better final pass is very important.
Craig, how can someone like Traoré, with noticeable flaws in his final third production, why can't coaches seem to help him improve in that department? It's been the same thing with him for the past 4 years.
Well, I'm going to say that it's down to him and it's down to the coaching, because I'm going to point you in one direction. Raheem Sterling, when he went to Man City, now, people might roll out some stats and some all that guff.
Right.
But his end product was not... Last year, I think it took a little bit of a dent again. But in the previous years, the trajectory had been upwards. Goals, assists, taking care of the ball in the final third. Because he's also an extremely pacey player who dribbles and runs. Yeah. But quite often, his last choice would be very rushed, or it'd be a wrong choice. And I think, as a coach, the one thing Guardiola has done, amongst many things, is improve that part of his game. And I think that's going to be a big part of Traore, because he's powerful, he's quick, but he's got good skills running with the ball, and he keeps it close to him. But you've always got to work for any player, and that's what we're just talking about Havertz. It has to be end product.
Right.
I've known loads of players that beat six guys and seven guys and the crowd are on their feet and then nothing happens. Football's like any other sport's about end product.
So how much then, comparing it to other sports, we were talking about golf earlier, obviously, if you're struggling with your putting, you spend hours on the putting green improving.
Buy a new putter.
If you're Traore, how much does that then reflect what you're doing on the training ground to the pitch? What I mean is that, could you spend half an hour after training running down the wing and practicing your crosses, does that actually help?
Well, it should help, but otherwise there's no point having training. But the difference is, and I don't know what Frank thinks about this, the difference is then you have to replicate that in the pressure of a match day, under the intense scrutiny of the cameras and the crowd, now the crowd are back, and also at the pace of a big European league. That's the difference. You can't replicate that in training.
Right.
You can waft a six over the crossbar and then go back and have another six. You can't do that in a game. You have to. So to replicate the pressure of a game, Frank, and the speed of a game is very difficult to do on a training field.
The thing is, I really think that it's part of the what big players have. When they are in front of the goal or they are about to do what they have to do in their department, they suddenly become cool. It's like everything is in slow motion because they know what they have to do. Somebody who's not that in that level will rush everything in.
Right.
And that will make the difference. Don't forget that when Benzema played under Mourinho at Real Madrid, he was very much criticized by Mourinho because he wasn't a killer, he wasn't scoring goals, and fans started to boo him. And I don't know, because he's fantastic, suddenly he connected, became cool, and he's the player that we can see now. So important, so, effective. And that makes the difference. Hopefully Traore will get that.
If I was talking to Traore, having watched him, the one thing I would tell him would be to slow down.
Yeah.
It sounds completely opposite because we're talking about his pace and his power. But I think Frank just touched on it in a roundabout way, is coolness. Would be, yes, use that great asset that he has to beat people, but then slow down. Once you've done it, you got to slow down. You can't keep going at that pace towards the goalkeeper.
Yeah.
You have to then, once you've beaten a player, whatever way it is, or you're crossing the ball, you've got to slow down. You've got to slow it in your mind, and you've got to slow it in your body. Then the end product should be better. But if you're trying to do it at full speed all the time, that's difficult.
Frank, how good was Hakimi today? He was the most expensive addition of PSG this summer, and he seems to be showing his worth so far.
He's a great player. I mean, it's like he's been to Paris Saint-Germain for years, filling in very easily. And I want to agree. Today, I think it wasn't his biggest game. I think it was maybe his worst game since he signed for Paris Saint-Germain. But he's still very good because he was so much better than the others that his performance for me wasn't that good today. But the guy makes a difference on the right side. They had Meunier, they had, I forgot the name, the German guy who played on the right side. And you can feel the difference with Hakimi. I mean, what he can bring for offensively, but also defensively, is huge in terms of differences comparing to the others.
Do you remember, Craig, ever running into a player or going for a challenge and thinking afterwards, well, that wasn't a good idea? Which player was built like a brick wall and was impossible to shoulder off the ball?
Sit up, Bolly.
No.
Not really, no.
No, Frank?
Dion Dublin.
Dion Dublin.
Played against when he was playing for Coventry and Keane, you know, the Sunderland player.
Yes.
Strong guys, Keane. Both of them.
Keane?
And,
Quinn.
Well, when you
Quinn, Frank, Quinn.
Quinn, okay, sorry,
Niall Quinn.
Quinn, Niall Quinn, yeah. They like walls, you know, you hit it. And you get back, you know.
Well, Frank was a centre back, so there's more challenges. I think Vieira would be one. I mean,
right.
Roy Keane.
Yeah.
Roy, tough and hard, but I mean, Roy's not a huge guy, you know. But he's still hardy guy, you know. You play against him, you have a scrap. I think one player that I think over the years, I don't think people realised how strong he was, and Frank will definitely have played against him. Well, I know he has. Was, and you wouldn't have thought this about him because he was such a skillful player, but Dennis Bergkamp was unbelievably strong as well as skillful.
Really?
Yeah. Really, really strong body strength as well.
Yeah.
Frank?
Frank, do you play against him?
I agree. And even called him once dirty player because he was tricky. He wasn't dirty because I guess my English wasn't that good, but Arsenal fans got crazy when I said that. But the guy, he was strong. You couldn't get the ball out of him. Zinedine Zidane also was a hard player to mark because he never fell. He was always on his feet. and he could stamp on your feet, you know, just before starting. Bergkamp was very good at doing that, but very strong, very hard to put it down.
We didn't have a this is not on the field, but I'll never forget. We played in a East Midlands derby. It was Derby County against Leicester City in the Premier League many moons ago, and the game was touchy. I think they won 3-2 or whatever right. It was at Pride Park. The game was very touchy and very. There was a few incidents and close to a bit of boxing and all that sort of stuff. And so it was still continuing at the end. And it was as we were going down the tunnel, it got a bit messy. I don't think there was any punches thrown, but it wasn't far off it until Eddie Akinbaye, who was playing up front for Leicester,
right.
Took his top off. And stood there like that, and everybody went, "Ah, freaking run!" In the dressing room. Couldn't get in the dressing room quick enough. He took his stuff. Like, huge.
Yeah, just ripped out. Yeah.
Oh my god! We're like throwing kids out to get my. Before the kids get into it. It was like no. I mean, it was like scared. And Jim Smith. Called us all cowards. I'm not fighting them. Jerry Taggart, Matt Elliott, my old teammate with Scotland. Oh my God.
Goodness. Matt Elliott. Yes. Matt Elliott.
He's a big guy, wow. Eddie. I can buy it.
Frank, I didn't think you were on Twitter, but we've got this tweet, Craig. How much did signing Frank Leboeuf improve your Chelsea side?
I mean, we won the that year. We won the Premier League Talking Championship. With Frankie. We also won the 7 days training swearing competition.
You know, yep, the humility dropped in the dressing room.
No, well, listen, we had it.
Of course.
Actually, we, you know, Frank, who did you partner most of the year? Erling Johnson or Michael Dubry? Who did you partner?
No, it's Clarkie.
Stevie Clark, fullback right. Yeah. And centre back. Clarkie could play. But no. Frank's job, amongst other things, was to play the ball out from the back and play the long balls. And we had some really good success
right.
at times that season doing that. But that, at that point, Chelsea was a team, they call it now, the buzzword is transition.
Yes.
That's the buzzword. It was evolving back then from what it had been in the early 90s, which was a team with really good, honest players, but not a lot of money to build. And then that started to change, and then we started to bring in some of the better players from around Europe. And then it gradually got better as the players got better, and it was fun. It was fun back in the day.
Speaking of fun, final question, Craig. When you were a boy, were you more excited to watch a Celtic Rangers Old Firm derby or the big guns in England playing?
Oh, good question. I think I was always drawn to watching English football.
Right.
Because of Ipswich.
Right, Paul, because of our uncle, yeah?
Our former colleague Paul Mariner.
Yeah.
And my uncle George and that great Ipswich team with all those great players and Sir Bobby Robson with the coat, everything about it. And I was kind of drawn to that, and then obviously there was a lot of Scottish players. So that at that time you're drawn to a lot of Scots were in the Premier League. Almost every team
right.
had a big time Scottish player, Stevie Nick,
yeah.
Souness, the list goes on, Charlie Nicholas at Arsenal, the list goes on. And so I was kind of drawn to that more than...
Right, than the Old Firm.
Not that I wasn't drawn to watching a bit of the Old Firm and stuff, but I was more drawn to that kind of story in England. And that's kind of what took me there.
Good stuff, that is it. ESPN FC returns to your screens tomorrow. Be sure to join us. Of course, we'll be counting down to...
Yeah, we're counting.
Transfer deadline
when
day,
is it Tuesday?
On Tuesday. And then that's
I'm off Tuesday. Marvellous. That's handy.
That's tactical.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They're the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.